Please pray with me. Loving God, we humble ourselves before you in our doubts, in our fears. And Lord, we know that that's just a part of our human nature, but we pray that you send your Holy Spirit to alleviate those things which we cannot understand, so that we always put you first in all things. And may the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, it is very easy for us to look at the resurrection story and just be in disbelief about it. There are lots of things like that in life, though, that we look at it in disbelief and go, how is that even possible? I know for me, one of those things was the watching all the social media and the media coverage of January 6th and going, what? Is this really happening? No, this can't be happening. This has got to be like Photoshop. This has got to be something else. And so we allow fear and doubts to enter our hearts and minds. And surely when we, I remember being a student in confirmation class, and as I was coming out of Catholicism, I became Lutheran when I was around 11 or 12. And they would explain things, and the what I loved most about confirmation classes, when I became Lutheran, it was the first time I was able to ask questions. Because in the Catholic tradition, no offense against Catholicism, but this is just how it was back then for me. But I would ask questions, and there was a convent that was adjacent to the church, and the nuns would come over and teach the Sunday school class. And I would raise my hand every Sunday to ask a question. And the nun would come over with her ruler in her hand. You don't need to know the answer to that. You just need to believe it. While there's some truth to that, there are things in Scripture that we just can't understand. And so when I became Lutheran, I'd be like, wait. Can you go back and explain to me what is grace? Wait. What is salvation? Wait. And so the instructors of that class, God love them, because they were so patient that was my nickname in class. Wait, has a question. Go ahead, wait. And because I was trying to understand what Scripture is saying. And so when it's very easy to just look at Scripture and say, I can't read that, I don't understand it. And it's also very easy, as many people do, take one thing out of Scripture and say, this is what Scripture says, so we have to believe it. Well, I hope you all know that you should never read Scripture like that. You can't just take one thing out of Scripture and say that that is what it says and this is what it means, because you have to understand a lot of things about it, right? The context, who it was written to, what it was about, who were the parties involved. All of these things help to inform what we're reading. And then when I got into seminary and began to learn Scripture, wait a minute, wasn't what I thought of, because, oh my God, we got to think of the original language. The original language in the New Testament, of course, is Greek. In the Old Testament, it would have been Aramaic or Hebrew. And so as I'm studying these things, it was like this light bulb went off on my head. And even to this day, when I read Scripture, and if I see something that just doesn't make sense to me, I immediately now default to, okay, this has got to be a misunderstanding in the translation. Let me go look at the original language. Because for me, and please know that you can also Google that, right? So if you run across something in Scripture you don't understand, isn't it better to look at the original language and try to understand it? Yeah, of course it is. Well, that's my job, of course, is to interpret what Scripture is saying and how it is useful for us, and somehow put a spin on it so that there's law and gospel, because that's what we do in the Lutheran Church, right? Well, wait. I got more questions. And the thing is that we will never understand everything about Scripture. Never. I'm going to put that out there. Why? Well, this, if you want the theological answer or the real answer. I think we aren't meant to understand everything about Scripture. The Bible is one of the oldest books ever written. It's been translated in probably thousands of different languages. And then if you look at how we speak, I've been following this guy on TikTok who analyzes English language and how some words you say one way and then other times you say it this way. You know, here and here. You know, what's the difference? There and there. You know, there's all of these different words that sometimes don't even make sense in English. So does that mean that we got it right when we translated it to English? Probably not. Which is why there's also thousands of English translations of the Bible. Well, Pastor, then how on God's earth will I ever understand what it means? Well, here's my answer. There's grace for that. Because sometimes we may not understand it. Many times, even when I'm still reading it today, I'm like, wait. What? God, illuminate something. I'm not sure I'm following that. Well, here's something that might blow your mind about this particular scripture passage. And really, the other gospels, I think, tell the story of Jesus appearing to the disciples a little bit differently. And I know you heard it last week when I wasn't here. But in other translations, it says that Jesus came and stood in the middle of them, in the center. Why would that matter? What happens to your attention when I stand here? Right. Causes some of you to turn, some of you to want to create some sort of circle, right? Well, here's my question. What stood in the middle of the garden in the creation story? The tree of life. Right? And what does Jesus say that he is in John's gospel? The tree of life. The tree of knowledge. Right? So, if I'm standing in the middle, it changes your attention. But look at where our attention is when we are in worship. It's intentional. It's designed to focus our attention into one place about where we receive life, truth, grace, salvation. Right here. And we are the vines, Scripture says. Right? So it's not by accident that a church is designed like a cross. Right? In most churches, there's actually a point, right, where it comes, you know, the old little thing that we used to do with our, do you remember this? Here is a church. Here is the steeple. Open the church or doors. There's all the people. Right? The steeples were designed to also create a focal point, because what does it look like if you were to turn the steeple up or turn the roofs of many churches upside down? You would be in a boat. Who was in the boat in the Old Testament story? Noah. And what came from him being in the boat? What came later? New life. New creation. And so, see, all of these things tie together. But we wouldn't know that unless we read Scripture and kind of dive in to understand. Now, the Greek word that is used here for peace is eirene. Can you say that? Eirene. Eirene also has a meaning of presence, would be how I describe it. So that it's not just saying peace be with you, It's also a meaning to say that I am present for you. We say peace to each other every Sunday. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. God's peace be with you. But what in this case, what Jesus is saying, he's saying, I am present with you, and I want you to have peace. What does peace mean? What does that mean? Think about it. What does that mean to you? Does it mean solitude? Does it mean quiet? Does it mean meditation, calm? It can have all kinds of meaning. But here's the thing. Paul goes on in the New Testament to say, not only will you have peace, you will have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, thanks, Paul. Now I can't have peace either. And then what sets in is doubt and fear. I can't have that peace, which is why it's so important for us to continue to read Scripture. I hope at some point that we actually put Bibles in this sanctuary and invite you to open up your Bibles and read the gospel lessons with me. Because for some of us, looking at a Bible is intimidating enough. Opening it and understanding is something different. And here's the thing. You will never receive the peace that surpasses all understanding unless you are willing to take a moment to open Scripture and allow God's Word to be revealed. Scripture is a living document, a living Word. And that means that we don't receive that peace that Paul speaks of unless we are willing to invest the time in being in communion with Christ. And that's what we receive here. This is our nourishment. This is what sustains us. This is what gives us strength. This is what allows us to feel the peace that surpasses all understanding. And so today, as you partake of your sacraments, I want you to think about that. I want you to know the peace that God provides. I want you to have the peace and grace that God has already given to us, which is why we are cleansed, which is why water is an element that gives life. The very life, the very truth that we long for is here for you. Be reminded of your baptism today. Be cleansed and know that God desires peace for you. Amen.